How's everyone doing this fine Sunday? We all right? Woo! Anybody here today? Welcome, welcome everyone to Bird Park Church. And it is a beautiful Sunday on Catalina here, right? It's great to see you guys. It's a beautiful time of the year to be out here. The water's still warm. It's still a little warm outside too. And it's quiet, a little quiet as well. So I love it. There's a very, we got a very special day today. Real quick, it's Katie Riley's birthday. Woo! Our very own Katie works for the church, and she's thrilled that we're celebrating her birthday publicly today. So wish her a happy birthday. Awesome. Happy birthday, Katie. Right on. Any other birthdays? I don't know. I could be missing anybody. Just her. Okay. All right. Well, hey, welcome, guys. And as the band comes up, you know, I don't know if you guys are into this kind of thing. Anybody love the spa? Does anybody do like a spa regularly? Anybody into massages and all that? Not really. Me neither. All right? Me neither. I did a spa day the other day for the first time in a long time. And I just, it was weird. It was like I couldn't find any rest. I was like there, was chilling. All the setting was perfect. I couldn't relax. I don't know if you guys get into that mode when we go in so hard, right? And you finally have an opportunity for rest and just relaxation. And you're like, I can't relax. I'm looking at my phone, checking emails still. I'm here. Like, what is that? What is that about? I hope you guys find a little bit of rest today. And I want to tell you today, as we worship and as we are just bringing the presence of the Spirit here, that you would find some rest, that you just find an opportunity to just put aside perhaps whatever's knocking at your door, whatever's out there, just put it aside for a moment. Find peace in the Spirit today. Amen. Anybody need a little bit of that today? We're going to sing one of my favorites today. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Amen. Amen. Let's worship today.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. And welcome again, everyone, and those watching online, welcome. For the lyrics, if you want to follow along in lyrics, there's some QR codes on the tables there. You can scan with a smartphone, if you have your smartphone. That'll pick up on the lyrics that you can sing along and join us. So, but let's turn our attention to the Lord. Let's give glory to his name in this place as we stand out in amazing creation here. Let's worship.
Before me, the world behind, no turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for us, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky, let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us, it's all for you. To us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who
in with all creation around us, singing out, not to us,
and not to us, but to your name. Glory, not to us, but to your name be the glory.
Amen. Isn't it crazy to think the mountains sing, right? The mountains shout. You know, it's just the rocks will cry out, right? Like it says in scriptures, if we don't sing, we don't praise, we don't glorify, it's going to. Creation knows its creator, and so we just turn our attention to you, God, this morning. We lift you in this place. We acknowledge all that you've done for us, all that you are. Be praised in this place.
In a time of desperation, when all we know is down and there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us. There is only one salvation. We believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life, we believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in His resurrection. Let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in His resurrection, that He's coming back again. And the lost be found in the dead be raised and reign. And now the loving let the church live love, our God will say, we believe, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in His resurrection, that He's coming back again. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. whatever may pass and whatever lies before me.
Be seated.
Good morning. Got a little break in the worship this morning for some other type of worship that we would like to do. It is our privilege, and it is one of the most fun things as far as any church body can participate in. Together, we're going to do a child dedication. And so I would like to ask the Montgomerys, Scott and Martina, and
Liam David Montgomery to please come forward. Just the three of you right now. Please come forward, and we would like to meet your only begotten son. Only begotten so far. Your firstborn. And as you can see, it won't be long before he is a brother, or yeah, a brother, obviously. But this is Liam David. And they would like to indeed present Liam David to the Lord, back to the Lord, much in the same way. Remember how Samuel was presented. Hannah brought Samuel. Well, actually, it was a tradition in the Old Testament that the eighth day they would bring the child back, and literally for a dedication and kind of a naming of the child with the priest there at the temple. And Hannah did that with Samuel, and eventually, actually, when he was weaned, left him at the temple, literally presented him in full, right? Presented his whole life. Jesus Christ himself says in Mark chapter 10, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." The wisdom of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it." And the importance in one making his or her own personal and responsible decision to receive Jesus Christ as his or her Savior through receiving him, receiving eternal life, is found in John chapter 1, verse 12. "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them power to become children of God." Now, as a parent, I believe that it would be a wonderful thing if parents could indeed claim the kingdom of God for their children through some sacramental act, as which we are doing right now. However, that last verse just kind of nullifies that particular aspect. It's not allowed by God, however, and young Liam David must indeed grow and make his own responsible choice to enter God's kingdom. But we can help him along the way, and you especially can help him along the way. So this service of dedication, therefore, makes no claim of salvation on Liam David's behalf, but it is indeed a rite of passage, a very important rite of passage that allows God to be at work very powerfully, as are the parents and through the parents, on Liam David's behalf. Yes, even this early in his life, to bring Liam David into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He agrees. So this service provides an occasion in which responsibilities are announced and accepted by the parents themselves. So it's kind of like a parental dedication as well, isn't it? Huh? And by the family at large to help God reign in Liam David's life until he is indeed able to choose Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And so I ask you too, Scott and Martina, do you promise to so conduct your lives that Liam David may learn of the Lord Jesus Christ by your faithful, daily, good examples? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to pray for him daily? If so, answer, we do. Which you already are. I know that many times throughout the day. Do you promise to instruct Liam in the ways of the Lord, teaching him his word, talking with him about faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord when he attains an age of spiritual understanding? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
But you're not in this alone, are you?
Not even close.
So I would like to have John and Carol Ann, who are the elected godparents, to please come forward. But I'd also like to have, let's see, Jan and Glazine and... please come forward. And Dave and Lori, of course, please come forward. Yeah, and if you could just go ahead and fill in front, it's no big deal. Perfect. Can you all see that out there? online land. John and Carol Ann Burkham, you are the godparents and the grandparents, which we will call you collectively, as extended family chosen for this important position of godparents and grandparents. You were chosen, by the way. That's incredible to think about, but it is a fact. You both have heard, or you all have heard, the desired promises of these parents. However, they will be unable to achieve all of their hopes and dreams for their child alone. For bringing up children is definitely a family affair. Matter of fact, it's more than a family affair. It takes an entire community. It's a labor of love of the community, and you're lucky to be here in Avalon. For Liam to grow up to be all that he might be, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, we all have to help. And so do you, the extended family, promise to support the efforts of the parents with prayers and words and acts of encouragement for Liam? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to abide by the wishes of the parents, to instruct Liam in the ways of the Lord, teaching him his word, talking with him about faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord? When he reaches an age of spiritual understanding, should, God forbid, these parents not be able to do so? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And having heard the promises of these parents and the family and the friends, I commend both the parents, the grandparents, and the child to the grace of God and to his immeasurable grace. And all God's people said, amen. So, if you could hold that. May I see him? I'd like to introduce the family of God here in Avalon to Liam David Montgomery. He was supposed to be so small at the beginning. You've got the Montgomery gene, that's for sure. Yes, you do. Liam, actually, it means protector of the will. If you want to get, it's Irish, and if you want to get really into the etymology of it, it means wearer of the gilded helmet. But of course, the will was kind of situated biblically, especially in those times, in the mind, right, in the head, where the soul is in the heart. And so if you're protecting the head, you're protecting the will, and wearing the helmet does so. So protector of God's will. And David is beloved of God, of course. It's a Hebrew for beloved of God. And you definitely are. Oh. Don't drop it. Drop it. Thank you. Join us in prayer, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, gracious and merciful, we give you thanks that you have given Scott and Martina the privilege of parenthood, that you bless their home with Liam David's precious life. We ask that you would indeed bless him, O Lord, with strength of body, with soundness of mind, with health of soul, and help his parents to keep godly values, to develop Christian priorities, and to walk in the paths committed to faith, trust, justice, and righteousness, so their son may grow toward you. Grant them patience and wisdom, good judgment, and balance for this demanding and yet blessed act of parenting. And we pray this to you, our heavenly parent, our heavenly Father, in the blessed name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort, and heart, establish them in every good work and every word. Thank you very much.
Awesome. So say hi to them after the service and check out little Liam there. We're going to continue on with some worship as we prepare for the word this morning.
Jesus, Lord of heaven, I do not deserve
the grace that you have given, and the promise of your word. Lord, I stand in wonder at the sacrifice you've made. With mercy beyond measure, my debt you freely paid. Your love is deeper than any ocean higher, than the heavens reaches beyond the stars and the sky. Your love is deeper than any ocean higher, and the heavens reaches beyond the stars in the sky. Jesus, your love has no bounds. Your love has no bounds. Lord of heaven, I do not deserve the grace that you have given and the promise of your word. Lord, I stand in wonder at the sacrifice you made. Beyond measure, my debt you freely paid. Your love is deeper than any ocean higher, than the heavens reaches beyond the stars and the your love has no bounds. Your love has no bounds. Jesus, your love has no bounds. Believe it. Your love has no bounds. When peace like sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot now has taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear
And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as the
Sunday mornings and allowing us to give him the praise and the glory that he so richly deserves. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it so much. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate everybody who helps out with setting this place up even more. And we need more to help out with that. So if you do find that in your time, if God does give you an allowance of time to be able to help out, please do show up. 8:30-ish would be great. That'd be wonderful. And you can help in putting this all together. I appreciate the way everybody seems to have their own jobs kind of set out on the breakdown of this whole thing. And you kind of go snap right to it. And boy, it's done. It gets done real quick. We appreciate that. I also appreciate the number of teachers that we have here. I mean, right now, our other pastors are kind of gone. And last week, we actually had the leading elder do the talk, right? Thank you, Wayne. Wayne's taking the children right now. So if you liked what you heard last week and you're a child, you can go back and sit with Wayne. Do you remember the 4 points? Who remembers the 4 points, huh? Be gracious. Serve others. Be proactive and be humble. Let's say that together. Be gracious, serve others, be proactive, and be humble were the 4 points that he talked about last week. We were not here, but we were here online. It was great to watch the whole thing. It was amazing. I felt right here at home. I even said something to Wayne, but he didn't hear me. I don't understand. You'd think that there'd be those spiritual connections, you know? The story is told of a newcomer to the community who was attending a local cattle auction, where the auctioneer was kind of expounding upon the incredible qualities of these beautiful cows, and he was talking about this one exceptionally beautiful Guernsey cow, and of course Guernsey cows can be exceptionally beautiful, and the newcomer was anxious to begin his own herd, but he wanted to ensure that he had made good purchases, that he had bought good cows. So he turned to an old farmer who seemed to know something about every cow there at the auction. He had something to say about that particular cow. And so he asked about this one beautiful Guernsey cow. How much does she give? And the old timer replied, "Well, she doesn't give very much at all, but if you can get her in a corner, you can take a lot from her." And I wonder how much is true about us as well. We're supposed to be givers, right? It's part of our Christian heritage, we'll put it that way.
And yet, how hard is it for us to give at times? And I'm not talking just money. How hard is it, especially, to give our time? How hard is it to give some of our other characteristics and qualities, our gifts, our food to others who need it? How hard is it for us to give ourselves to our God the way that we are supposed to give ourselves to our God, the way this Bible actually tells us to give ourselves? It's like not until we're kind of caught in a corner will we sometimes give what we're probably supposed to be giving in the first place. Because we're takers. We've developed that. We humans have got that down pat. We love to take, and you know what? The more that we seem to attain, the more we what? The more we want, yeah, which is kind of interesting. And sometimes we need to just sit down and think about those characteristics, those darker characteristics that we have, and shed some light on them, the light of God's Word. I'm going through 2 Corinthians in my readings for this, at this particular time in the year. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks a lot about giving. And yes, a lot of people will use it primarily for talking about monetary giving in the church. And so people don't really like this particular chapter because of that. 2 Corinthians 8 is not one of their most favorite. And yet in it, they've got some incredible things that Paul pulls out for us in the understanding that if we want to be incredible givers, grateful givers and graceful givers, then we need to be graceful livers first. We have to live in God's grace to be able to give gracefully as God desires us to give. The story above or about the cow, yeah, no, it's not meant to be funny, but it is meant to hit a point. The experience of too many of us believers, we feel that we've been coerced into giving at church, giving monetarily by appeals to meet the budget, or we're going to close up, you know, threats to close up the shop, things of that nature. But again, I'm not focusing on giving monetarily. I'm focusing about giving, period. And mostly giving that is called the give it all type of giving, as in all of me. As in giving all of myself, giving all of ourselves. I'm talking about complete, holistic Romans 12, 1 and 2 giving, as in presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, because that is our spiritual worship. And in not being conformed to this world, giving in or giving up and joining the takers, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, the renewing of our minds, so we may be able to discern what God's will really is and act in that. And if we act in that will, you think we'll be givers or takers? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question. We will give as He has given. And how has He given? Abundantly. Everything that we have, He has given. We haven't taken much at all. And if we have, it's probably been illegally. Think about it. Definitely against God's will. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We understand what that is? Now we're living gracefully. We're living gracefully. And giving gracefully will become a part, a component of that living gracefully, giving all to God. It is true that this passage, again, is talking about a collection that Paul, it's an offering, it's a monetary offering that Paul was building as he was going through his missionary trip through Asia Minor, essentially. So he's going through the different churches there in Asia Minor, and he's collecting money, and he's collecting actually a lot of it, more than he thought that he would be getting. Why is he collecting this collection? Why is he collecting this, quote, offering? Well, there was constant persecution in those days. This is the decade of the 50s. the aught 50s, the 0050s, not the 1950s or the 2050s. No, this is the aught 50s. And yes, persecution, especially persecution against the Church of God, was constant. It was constant in this area. But along with that, a devastating famine has affected the Middle East during this decade of the 50s. It was a famine, interestingly, if you look back at Acts chapter 11, verse 27, the prophet Agabus actually predicted that this particular famine. But it was a tough one, and it was especially tough in Asia Minor, and even more especially tough to the saints that were in Jerusalem. For some reason, it hit them the hardest. Both the persecution and the famine were most severe, most long-lasting in Jerusalem. You know, that's where that 50s blues hit, you know, hard hit in the Holy Land. You heard it? No? It was by Jonah Marley and the Wailers? No, you didn't hear it? We'll try to find it. John will try to play it for you a little later. So Paul, feeling this persecution, feeling the famine, but mostly feeling for his buddies back in Jerusalem, they were starving. They were hit really hard, began collecting an offering for the Jerusalem saints as he was going through these different towns and talking to the different churches in these different towns. Now, do you think that they were hit by this famine? Yes. Do you think they were hit by persecution? Yes, because as we follow Paul, we realize that they're being persecuted, especially Paul, but the churches as well. And yes, they are being hit by the famine as well. But he gives these churches that he founded throughout Asia Minor, which is Macedonia and Achaia, a chance to give along, a chance to bless the people in Jerusalem. So out of their pain, out of their agony, he is asking them to bless these people, to give. To give. And I'll guarantee you one thing. If they were not already giving people, living a life of grace, living in the grace of Jesus Christ, they would not be able to give in this offering. And yet they were giving how? Abundantly. What does that show about these people? That's what I want to reflect on. It shows they were already living gracefully, weren't they? Because they would not be able to give if they were not living in that graciousness. We read the offering was successfully completed. It was actually delivered by Paul himself. You can read about that in Romans chapter 6:15. Romans 15. But here's the point. Cheerful, complete giving is the result of gracious living. It comes from gracious living. And gracious living is a characteristic of those who truly understand the gracious nature of life in Jesus Christ, have truly given themselves fully over to God, over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I want to dive into this passage more deeply, and I want to see these three points that Paul is going to point us out. Graceful living exceeds our natural ability individually, and it also forces us into a supernatural fellowship corporately. That's one point. Gracious living proves the sincerity of one's love, that one truly is living a life of love, and that's where the giving actually comes from. And that gracious living requires, not only requires, but it inspires integrity as well. The life that God desires us to live according to his will. So life according to his will, which is a life of integrity. So let me read 2 Corinthians 8. I'm going to begin at verse 1. We'll just read through verse 7 right now. So open it up to 2 Corinthians if you have your Bible or your phone. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that's been given. The grace of God that's been given among the churches of Macedonia. In other words, they felt it. They're living in it. It's been given abundantly, apparently, because they're showing it. They're showing it. For in severe tests of affliction, their abundance of joy in affliction, and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part. Even though they're in poverty, they're hungry, and they're persecuted, they have an abundance of joy and a wealth of generosity. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly to take part in this relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God they gave to us. Proper order, right? You can see it written out there. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. So Titus was the one that was there prior to Paul and was initiating that collection of the offering for Paul before he got there to pick it up and carry it on, kind of ahead of time. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. So they're already living a graceful life, Paul is saying. They have already received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're living according to his will. They're living lives in Christ. They're living lives beyond their own capabilities. They're living lives beyond their own flesh. We've all imagined ourselves, we've fantasized about being a superhero. What was your favorite superhero when you were a child? Just go ahead and say it out, everybody, at once. Mine was Superman. Huh? Who said Ant-Man? I find that hard to believe. Flea Man? No, sorry. Nancy Drew, there's a superhero. Sorry, I didn't read much of that. Now, the Hardy Boys? I didn't think they were superheroes, but they were good. They were real good. Yeah, mine was Superman, and he was still in vogue. I remember jumping off my roof, attempting to fly one day. Luckily, the pool was right there below it in the backyard, so no, there were no broken arms or anything, but we wonder what we would do, what would it be like to have superhuman powers to do something beyond our natural abilities. But here's the really good news that Paul shows us here. It's a new good news for all of us. God's grace enables us and enables Christians to accomplish ministry that is actually beyond, well beyond our natural capacities, our natural abilities. And he not only gives us the gifts to be able to do these wonderful ministries, but he also supplies and empowers us with what we need to do those ministries, right? Not that we have it already. No. But he makes sure, and it's amazing how he does it at times, that things are there on time and miraculously in the same abundance that's needed in many cases. Nearly a year has passed since Paul first gave instructions to the Corinthians, or to Titus, to start this offering there in Corinth. And during that time, he had been forced to write those in Corinth a painful letter. There was some sin that was found in the Corinthian church, some sexual sin. And they had grieved those who were living there, and it caused them to have some problems within the church and to kind of fall out of favor. And I imagine you could see that in the giving. I imagine you could see that in their graceful living wasn't what it was or should be or could be. The letter did, however, have positive results. It did cause in the Corinthians church a period of repentance. We can read that in chapter 7, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians. The church restored itself, or God restored the church to health, and Paul now devotes two chapters to this discussion of how they're able again to live gracefully, to this graceful living. And he uses the church in Macedonia, those in Philippi, those in Thessalonica, those in Berea, to build up the churches here in Corinth, the church here in Corinth, saying they've even heard that you're doing great things again. That you've got the heart of God again, and that you're living gracefully again. So now you can join us in this graceful giving based on your graceful living. So they again start collecting the offering before Paul can show up. But I noticed at first that they'd given in spite of their circumstances. He says in verse 2, in spite of your circumstances, you're able to give. He mentions the great ordeal of affliction, which many refer to the persecution and the famine that's going on, that they could have caused great poverty. It could have caused great disease among the believers. And yet it didn't seem to affect them as highly as it could or should have, possibly. And we need to understand that as far as an outcome of graceful living in these days of disease. But these adverse circumstances had served to produce, it says, an abundance of joy, not pain and agony, but an abundance of joy, which then created this overflow of generosity. Joy and generosity are both attributes that come from a life in Christ, a life that realizes the insurance of sins forgiven, and that actually applies the grace that we have received from Christ, applies it to their lives, and sees this graceful living begin to grow amongst them. That generosity will come out of that. It indicates giving that's neither calculated nor is it conceited. It's giving without getting anything, sacrificially, unconditionally. Paul clearly sees the generous giving by the Macedonians as one of the attributes empowered by the grace that they were living. So in verse 3, they gave not just according to, but beyond their ability, above their ability in the flesh. The giving was motivated by a style of living that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was supernatural living. It led to supernatural giving. Paul uses the words grace and gracious down in verses 6 and 7 to encourage the Corinthian believers to abound, continue in this gracious work that they're doing. And it shows that they are doing it. His affirming that generous giving is as much a validation of the Holy Spirit's graceful living as prophecy, it says, as miracle-working faith, it says. Your giving is just as much an outreach of that graceful living. All validations of the Spirit's supernatural work in believers' lives. Graceful giving is an outflow of graceful living. Amen. Verses 8 through 15. 8 through 15. I say, not as a command, but I say this to you, and I say it to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it. Finish doing it so that your readiness is desiring. It may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. If you're already in the Spirit, then yes, this will be a possibility. Not only a possibility, it will happen. It doesn't depend on what you have. It depends on what the Spirit gives, what the Spirit allows. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so their abundance may supply your need in return when you need it. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And that's the way gracious living works among the people of God. Among the people of God. So it's really kind of interesting. He begins this section affirming the Corinthians that they're a uniquely gifted church, which any church that is following the gifts of the Holy Spirit is. He declares that they abound in every good work, in faith, in prophecy, in knowledge. We might say that this is even a rich church when it comes to gifts of grace and graceful living. So Paul exhorts them to abound in this other work as well and do it as well as you're doing. So he's not necessarily focusing just on offering. He is saying, you're doing everything well. by the way, go ahead and insert this offering in those, in that everything that you're doing well, because the people in Jerusalem can use the help and you can be blessed. So, and as an apostle and a founder of the church, yeah, Paul had the right to exercise authority and command them to participate in this offering. But he knows this offering won't flow unless it flows from love. And it won't be abundant unless it flows from love, proving also the sincerity of their love for God. When love is lacking, all of our giving can degenerate just into legalistic tasks. Later, in chapter 9, verse 7, Paul affirms that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, meaning that God loves for his children to reflect his own gracious character in their giving, his loving character in their giving. God gives to us because he loves us. He has given us all things. Why? Because he loves us, and he expects us to love others as he loves us, and to give them all things as he has given us all things that they may need. And when love is lacking, it can all just degenerate down into meaningless tasks, and we can all feel like we're being pressured to give. No, that is not the case at all. He illustrates by speaking of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was not pressured, who possessed all the riches of heaven itself and yet became poor through the incarnation. For whose sake? This self-giving act ultimately led him to the poverty and the pain of the cross, which then enabled us to become rich in his mercy and in his love. And when he comes to grips with God's amazing, when we come to grips with God's amazing gift of grace, we're awesomely aware of all the riches that we have all of a sudden received at Jesus Christ's expense. And it's this awareness that motivates true living. It's this awareness that motivates true giving and that proves the sincerity of our love. Not just to others, proves it to ourselves as well for the building of our faith. Proves it to God, who most likes seeing it. Paul desires that they complete the offering with joy and integrity, he says in verses 10 through 12. They had demonstrated their readiness to give while he was there, but when he left, that kind of lagged. The readiness lagged after Paul had left. Their spiritual awareness of the grace around them lagged. And that's the point we need to be concerned with as well. The standard of giving will be a reflection of the graceful living of the giver, right? So think about that today as you just kind of contemplate your own stand before God, your own giving before God. The abundance of spiritual resources available to the Corinthian believers is what will enable them to supply the needs of those who have needs. They're just being used by God to help others of God. We must understand the meaning of the phrase that he writes here. If the readiness, if the love is there, the giving will be according to what the person has, not according to what he does not have. And if the love is there, the love of God is in that individual, he has abundantly. He has all things abundantly. And God is willing to give all things abundantly. In Christ, we have abundance of all good things. Amen. Verses 16 through 24, graceful living requires and inspires integrity. But thanks be to God, who put in the heart of Titus the same earnest care that I have for you. So it's not just Paul that's working this act of God amongst the Corinthians, it's Titus as well. God working through Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he's going to you on his own accord. With them, we're sending the brother who is famous among you and all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed to the churches to travel with us and to carry out this act of grace that is ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself to show our good will. So others other than Paul who are living graceful lives, who understand Jesus Christ and have given themselves over fully to Jesus Christ, are important parts of this work, as we can be important parts of any work that God desires us to be partaking in. He says, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. It's not just Paul that's going to be blamed of pressuring these people. No, no. Paul wasn't there at this particular time. It was Titus, and Titus was doing it out of the will of God. And with them we're sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many manners, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for other brothers, they are messengers of the church and the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men, who are filled with God's love. So we can see that we can all be involved. It wasn't just Paul, no. It was several other people that God had moved, who had given themselves over to God, and he had moved them to partake in powerful ways for the kingdom of God. Paul encourages their giving by letting them know exactly how the offering is going to be administered and by whom. It's not him. It's not Paul. He ends up, yes, being the one that kind of takes it, but he's not going to be able to carry all of it. I imagine there was carts used and plenty of other people involved, Titus being one of them. There's a couple others that he names as well. But why did Paul take such precautions? He answers that in verses 20 and 21. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift, that it's being administered just by us. No. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Paul is never concerned simply for his own reputation before men. He is incredibly conscious of his accountability to God, before God, first, foremost, and only. He also realizes that there are several characteristics of cooperative giving that we should celebrate because we are doing it together. It's not just one man. It's all of us together. When you have graceful giving based on graceful living, it requires mutual concern, a concern based out of love for one another. It must be handled with efficiency and integrity, as the Holy Spirit will guide and will direct if allowed to. It has a kingdom focus, entirely eternal, not on this temporal world at all. It's entirely for the future and for God's kingdom. And it ultimately glorifies God, because only he can truly get credit for the grace that is given. And so he's the only one that can get credit for the grace that we do live, right? And so all of it will be to his glory. All the good works that we do in our graceful living, including graceful giving, all of it will be to the glory of God. And that means it's where it should be. Amen? So take some time a little later to this day. Just sit with God. And if you have not given him completely all of yourself, then be honest with him. Let him know why. Let him know your fears. Let him know your anxieties. Let him know you're not completely sold out. Talk with him. Draw closer to him. It won't take long before you are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness. We say thank you that your grace does indeed flow through us. Thanks be to what your Son has done on the cross. And it was grace that placed him there as well. And all of it based on and formed in love. And so we thank you that you have allowed us to be part of all of that as part of your plan. And that plan was from the beginning of time. And so, yes, Lord, help us to be able to turn all of us over to you. Each one of us alone will bond us all together then in the graceful living that we need to be performing right now before your Son comes back to rule, before your Son comes back to reign. Motivate us, we pray. We pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ron. And as we close in this last song, I love some of the lyrics in here of just saying, whatever you want, God, whatever you ask, you know, our lives are yours. You know, we surrender that, you know, that was presented this morning, just being all in with God. And so let it be a prayer as we respond. You know, I think I also wanted to just put one announcement in here real quick, too, because next week is our celebration service here, which is extended time of worship. And, you know, worship, in its truest sense, is a response. It's a response to God and what he's doing in our life. And so we're responding by thanking him, praising him, acknowledging him. And so next week's going to be a great time in that. So come and join us for that next week as well. But let's close. Let's stand together. Let this be our prayer as we go out this morning to stay surrendered and fully given over to him. Just one king, just one crown, could rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray and humbly seek your face. We seek your face. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven fills the earth. Whoa, whoa. By this great divide and make us whole. A royal priesthood for your fame, a people called by your great name, by your great name. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out, heaven fills the earth. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here as one, we're unified. See your glory in our lives. For your King. For your name, Holy Spirit, have your way. Here as one, we're unified. See your glory in our lives. For your kingdom, for your name, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven fills the earth. Whoa, we have been given so much by God. Go and live that out generously this week. God bless you all. Have a great day and a rest of your weekend.